You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, it takes a lot for Steve to get the levels of angry that I get all the time. I can Hulk out at any moment. Anything goes wrong in my life, anything goes wrong, just the simplest thing. If I trip over the bathroom rug and nearly fall into the toilet, I will be pissed. Anybody would be pissed at that. I'm just going to say this right now off the bat before Steve goes into his hilarious diatribe that he has. This episode will be marked explicit. Automatically, no donkey sounds, no bleeps, no nothing. Fucking hell, social media. Take it away.
Anti-social media.
There you go.
So, we merely just stepped into this call. And I was checking, I was just checking through Facebook. Because I was going to go to my saved tab. And looking for topics. And mind you, I've had a window of Facebook open actually all week. I don't refresh. Like, I put my computer in sleep mode when I'm at work, and
right,
unless I need to use it, like today, where I'm doing various projects and I need multiple computers and screens. So that being said, I had a Facebook, like the chat, the messenger, whatever, open on my desktop. It's not been refreshed all week. It's just been there. I load a new window to pull up the save tabs, and Facebook just proceeds to pop up with a classic Facebook is going away soon. We've made improvements to the new Facebook.com, and we're excited to have everyone experience the new look. Before we make the classic Facebook unavailable in September, we hope you'll let us know how we can continue to make Facebook better for everyone. Experience the new Facebook.com. Find things easier with a cleaner look and bigger text. Catch up quickly with fast loading times. Turn on dark mode to give your eyes a break. It's cluttered. It's a mess. Why?
I will say, as a legally blind person my entire life, sometimes bigger text is great.
I will give you that. I do like the bigger text. I do like that they've removed a lot of garbage. However, I don't like it when it changes around. Plus, this is their way to shove the stories feature right in your face consistently because you can't get rid of it now. So it shows your pages on one side. It shows you, your profile. It shows COVID-19 Information Center. Don't care. Friends, Messenger, Saved, See More. And then it's got all the rest of the hubbub of crap that they support. as well as their other project of whatever they've got going on. Then it's got your shortcuts of pages and, your contacts pop up and it's like, oh, would you like incoming call sounds, chat tabs, show contacts, turn on active status? No, just leave it all off. If I want to use it, I'll get on Messenger. Like, or creating rooms. Like, I have no idea what these rooms things are on Facebook.
The rooms things freak me out because I'm like, why would I want to create a room with somebody when I can just create a Facebook Messenger group with the people that I want to, like, for example.
Like, what is it even for? That's kind of what I'm...
I don't know. The only thing I can think of, and this is going to go crazy back to the 90s here. Remember Yahoo? Remember Yahoo chat rooms?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, 18 and over dating, or oh, 20 something and blah, 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 or oh, the foodie room, or oh, that's the only thing I can think of that Facebook is trying to bring back is the old chat room type stuff. But I don't even know because I won't ever create one. I have zero interest. Stories I kind of get, and they're
basically
everybody.
Instagram. They're basically Instagram posts. Ported over.
Yeah, exactly. And that's whatever, fine. My biggest problem with it is I can never get this to stay away. And now I've been on mobile since December of last year. My computer's in storage, folks. It's going to take me I'll just say $4,000, $2,000 to get the pods unit out here, and another $2,000 to have people unpack it, have people repack, and new storage unit out here in the state of Washington from Illinois to get it whatever. So I don't know what's going on the desktop. I only know what the mobile is doing because I'm only on my phone. The thing that pisses me off the most is, yes, I get it. It's Facebook and they now have ads and that's fine. Zuckerberg finally caved into Saverin and advertisers and whatever. People you may know, no offense to any of these people, but I don't know any of them. Chris Tomlinson, never heard of him. Derek Donovan, don't know him. Bill Robinson, two mutual friends, don't know you. You know, like Sean Boyer, I think I've heard of. I think I've seen him in several groups kind of. But like David Mark, no clue. You know, and I'm like, okay, hide people you may know. Okay, people you may know is now hidden. People you may know is temporarily hidden from your news feed. No, I don't want a temporary solution. I want a permanent solution. I have currently 554 friends on Facebook. I will never reach the level of having over 1,000. I will never reach some of these people that reach 5,000 friends and max out. I will never get there. Uh-uh. Not going to happen.
Well, I actually went through a Facebook purge when I was being attacked for my what I was believing in or saying on the podcast. I was getting attacked on Facebook and Twitter, and some people were doing it very diplomatically, which those I encourage, because it was constructive criticism, and they weren't coming right out and saying, I hate you because of what you're saying. There were other people that were very venomous about it. And yeah. So I went through a massive purge on both platforms. Some I blocked, some I deleted. And honestly, I don't miss the ones that I removed because I didn't talk to them anyway. And so, I mean, honestly, I feel like social media, when it first came out, I feel like it was one of those things that people gravitated towards because you were looking for people with the same interests as you, which to some extent is still the case, but it's not really anymore. Now it's about who can you attack to the highest degree. At this point, like, I mean, yes, there are some discussions that go on social media. Some of them are fun. Some of them are, you know, mostly memes or, you know, people aren't posting pictures of their food anymore. They're just posting all kinds of other garbage. But, I mean, my favorite thing in the world right now are the Giphies. I mean, which who knows how that's going to go because Facebook bought them too. but that's like my favorite thing to respond with on any platform. And honestly, I don't feel like social media is as social anymore. It's not. It basically replaced the bulletin board systems, murdered them with a shovel, and buried them. And then it's like, oh, now that we've destroyed your original platform, everybody just attacks everybody now instead of just being trolls on forums that you could remove by, you know, IP address yourself. No, I mean, you're kind of at the whim of these platforms, and they do what they feel, and it's and just people are just very venomous. It's not. I feel like yes, it's good for some type of conversation, but in the other effect, it's turned into exactly what we said it was going to in the 2010 bullying episode of Geekcast Radio. And the unfortunate part is we used to actually have a lot of conversations on these, and people used to add people based on, you know, your interests or, you know, creators based on your interests and befriend them. And then there was this kind of nice mutual conversation going on. And to some extent, I still have some of those people because there are some people that no matter what their views on things, they're not venomous on their distaste of something. They usually turn it into some kind of a sarcastic quip, in which case I'm perfectly fine with. And, you know, whether it be politics, religion, or some stupid thing that's going on in the world or something dumb somebody did, I can tolerate it and be fine with it. And honestly, as long as they're not personally attacking or they're just constantly a downer. I can I honestly don't mind. I'll read it and then I'll just keep scrolling because I have nothing constructive to add to the conversation, and so I just leave it alone.
It's so funny you say about keep scrolling, because there's a picture somewhere, I don't know where, if I can find it now, but basically it says something to the effect of, I saw something on Facebook that I disagree with, and I just kept scrolling. You can do it too. You know, it's not that hard. Okay. Since we're talking about this, I try my politics, because it's news and because it's whatever, currently, as of this recording, Joe Biden selected Kamala Harris as his running mate for the 2020 presidential election. I shared a news story from NBC News reporting that. I didn't comment on it or anything, but I still feel like certain news stories I will share, no matter what they are. The religious stuff, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. Yes, I believe, but I am not organized or anything else. I would rather sleep in on a Sunday than go to some leaky building to worship with a bunch of diseased people. I don't know who has COVID now. You know what I mean? So for my Facebook, if you look at my page, my profile page, the first post, which I just shared as of this recording 2 minutes ago, was something about the Boston Bruins. TF Nation's big broadcast of 2020. A preview of the Phineas and Ferb movie that's coming out on Disney Plus later this month. A joke about Facebook be like, water is wet. False information reviewed by independent fact checker. You know, it's just a picture. You know, how about Thanksgiving candy corn? Brock's launches new treat with turkey, green beans, and other flavors. Like, I mean, Facebook for me and Twitter. I don't do much Instagram, but if I do, it's mostly like sunset shots or sunrise shots, or it's some sort of sky thing. But Facebook and Twitter for me have always been promotional tools. Yes, I do share a lot of crazy crap on Facebook, but it's to promote the podcasts. Like, one of my first posts as of today was the new episode of The Pullbag that came out, episode 382, with Jonathan and Maggie Schaefer-Hames. And I see what you're saying, and I agree with you. It's not so social, because it's more of, oh, this is my opinion. And then 50 comments later, everybody else gives their opinion, which, hey, freedom of speech, freedom of whatever. But then it dissolves into, well, your opinion sucks, and your opinion's wrong, and your opinion's that. Opinion, everybody's got assholes. Everybody's got opinions. Opinions cannot be wrong. Facts can be wrong. The fact that my opinion is Nickelback is one of my favorite bands, and just because everyone else hates them doesn't change the fact that I enjoy what they do. You know what I mean? And it doesn't have to just be Nickelback. It could be Scrappy Doo. It could be whatever. Like, I don't understand why social media has become such this cesspool of everybody has to wave their big foam finger harder, louder, faster, and uncut.
Well, so let's pose a different question to kind of put it in a positive spin before I lose my crap over their pages, their pages and their groups and their marketplace and their watch and their home at the top. It's a little bit nicer in some regards, but I still don't like it. So let's put it in a positive spin. What are some benefits of social media, or what are some things that people could do to make social media better?
Some benefits I see is that it depends on what you're – okay, I've switched over to Twitter now. So it depends on what you're talking about or what you're posting about or whatever. Again, I don't want to, if people want to tune out to this, fine. Not that you'll tune out to it, but I know you're going to roll your eyes the whole time I'm talking about this. again, as of this recording, Wednesday, August 12th, 2020, we are 2 days away from a new Nickelback single or album or something. You done?
I couldn't help it. I had to do that. That's whether it's true or not. I mean, I have no problem checking it out, honestly. I like to give you crap because I like the reaction. It has nothing to do with, like, I did like Nickelback at one time. My perception of them, though, the reason I give them crap is because I saw them in concert. And Chad Kroeger was a total dick at the microphone. And he was wasted, and he was flinging glass bottles of beer in the audience, and he had to use a vocoder to do the effects that he does on the CD. And I was like, okay, so he's a phony. So the CDs sound great. I'm not debating that. I just didn't like seeing them in person.
When did you see them? What year?
It was early 2000s because I saw them with Mary, I think.
Okay. Was it before 2005?
I think so.
Yeah. They were,
but also his voice didn't match the CD, and that was kind of my irritation. Whereas, like, I saw Three Doors Down directly before them, and he sounded exactly like the CD.
Yeah.
So, like, Linkin Park did the same thing. They had the guy, you know, that did the screeching stuff. He had to use some kind of a weird amplifier to make it happen because he sounded like crap in person.
So my point is that, you know, Nickelback announced that they're coming out with a new single or whatever, and everybody's trying to figure out, and that they've been posting teasers about it. Everybody's trying to figure out what it is. So I'm like, I think it's a cover of The Devil Came Down to Georgia or something. And then that got a whole discussion going between myself, the Nickelback Italia fan page, somebody else, and like one other person. So I got discussions just based on my assumption that it's a cover of a classic song. Okay, I started watching because I needed some. I've got other things going on that we can either talk about at the end of the episode or we can talk about the next episode. We should probably talk about it at the end of this episode. But anyway, life is happening over here in Washington State as much as life is happening there in Colorado with you. But anyway, it's one of those things where, you know, I started watching 2016, 2017. I don't remember. Yeah, I've seen conflicting things here on when it started. I believe it started in 2016. The Marvel Spider-Man series, which is the newest, most recent Spider-Man series. I started watching that on Disney Plus. And I posted on Twitter because we've interviewed Josh Keaton a couple times. Hey, Josh Keaton, what's it like being on the other side of the web shooter as Norman Osborn? I'm watching the 2016 or 2017 Spidey series on Disney Plus. Now, for those that may or may not know, Josh was the voice of Spider-Man in several things in the past. And he replies, I'm not going to lie to you, Mike. I'm pretty creepy. And then Yuri Lowenthal jumps in, he all he says is, can confirm the fact that Josh as Norman is creepy. So hey, cool. I got a conversation out of that by two voice actors. Like, I don't even know, without looking at any information, I don't even know if Yuri's in the series. I don't think he is, but I could be wrong. But, like, you know, hey, I tweeted at somebody and then another person saw it and replied. And so far, you know, it's been civil. But, man, Facebook.
Facebook can get brutal, can it? Granted, yeah. I've had some pretty nasty conversations on Twitter, too.
True.
I miss Google Plus. Nobody talked to you there. Maybe that's why it went away.
That's why it went away, exactly.
There wasn't enough conversation, not enough hate. Shut it down, shut it down. Where's Shooter McGavin when you need him?
Yeah, I know, right? I don't know, man. It just, and again, there are good and bad things to social media. The good thing is, through the fact that I'm a quote-unquote semi-retired podcaster currently, I've been listening to a lot more shows, and I've been I haven't interacted with other podcast hosts in a long time because I haven't been able to listen. Because I don't. Ever since we started, GCRN, Altered Geek, any of the shows we've ever done in the last 12, 13 years, 14 years, whatever it is, I've thrown myself into the production side, and I just don't have time to listen to anything. Since December of last year, I've had time, and I've listened to a lot of things, and I've started crafting new friendships, new geeky relationships, or whatever you want to call them, with podcasters and with other people. And it's like, hey, once again, like you were saying earlier, we would find like-minded people that we could discuss certain things with. And the way I have always approached the podcasting that I do is I reach out to the people that are strongest on whatever that topic is. Like, if you and Dodd are going to do an episode on Dragon Ball Z or Dungeons and Dragons or whatever, that's not for me. I'll bow out and let you guys have it. If I, like, for you, you know, if I have a music episode that has Nickelback or has whatever and you're not into it, then I'll be like, you know, but there are certain things that I'll go to you first. Like, oh, hey, the new Batman Adventures comic came out. You want to do that on the pull bag? You're the first person I'll go to because that's kind of our thing, especially when it comes to the DC Animated Universe. And that Batman Adventures Continue series is a continuation of that kind of thing, of that certain era of it. So it's like, I find people that are like-minded that not always have the same opinion as me, but at least we can discuss it and have fun with it and not tear each other's throats out like rabid animals.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, there have been some great conversations that have come out of social media. I mean, we've gotten multiple interviews with voice actors. I've gotten to meet some of the voice actors through this. I've met a lot of other geeky people through social media. Not so much recently. It's gotten a little bit more difficult to do. But, I mean, occasionally I'll see something kind of pop through and I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool, you know, and be able to follow some new people. Funny enough, and this is very timely, you know who David Baruffy is?
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm not trying to be a troll of either side of the political spectrum. I know that one leans one way and this other guy followed leaned another way, and they're both movie reviewers. Because I don't really have an interest. I just am tired of, like, sick, stupid people, honestly. But the gist of this, anyways, politics aside, I know that one's on one side of the spectrum and one's on the other side. That's all I was getting at with this. Mm-hmm. So David Baruffy was arguing with this other guy called another Millen R, which is another millennial reviewer. And I was like, why? You know, kind of just wondering why this whole conversation was going on. And so they were arguing, believe it or not, over Will Smith's career. Now, let me get in this further because this gets hilarious. Because I'm a dick and I took screenshots.
Of course you did.
Well, I mean, what else are you supposed to do? I mean, it's funny. So he posts, you know, this other guy posts, basically that, Will Smith is an actor, not a rapper anymore. And it's like, no, he's still both. But David was arguing that Will Smith was a musician first, and then became an actor because of it. And this other guy's like, but he's an actor. And so David was going, okay, but he still was like, they were kind of going back and forth, and it looked like it had been going on for a while before I jumped into it. I just happened to see it go down my Twitter feed, and I follow both of these people. They both followed me. And so I said, my piece. I said he was a rapper for, you know, for 4 years before he became an actor. I says, mm-hmm. if you only check IMDb, it will show he was an actor first in 1989. But if you look deeper, he was a rapper first in 1985.
Yeah.
Under the name The Fresh Prince. And so I posted this, you know, and I says, oh, it looks like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And David goes, you know, be careful. He's like, he'll block you. if you, you know, have a differing opinion or whatever. And so he goes, you know, David goes, oh, okay, 4 years, I thought it was two, but exactly by my standard, any standard, he's a musician first. You know, he says, by the way, he blocked me because he didn't believe me, so be careful. Well, I went to reply, and he blocked me too. to the second reply that I was going to do.
Oh, wow.
So I posted, and because, like I said, I had it open, wasn't going to close it. It was in TweetDeck, so... he says, that might be the case, but he is known as an actor now. He isn't a rapper anymore. He is an actor. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, well, his last, that movie where he turned into the bird, The Spies in Disguise,
mm-hmm.
when his character got introduced, he was doing a rap mm-hmm. introduction of his character. And he typically does this every movie he's in. He usually has either the theme or something that he's done rap for in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just to put his signature on it. And exactly. Anything he's in, he raps or he sings. And, I mean, to some extent somewhere. Like, I mean, Aladdin. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I was about to post, and they were both tagged, so I had to untag one so I could repost it. I said, so he blocked me too because I disagreed with his assessment. Seems a bit childish when I was just making the observation. I wasn't meaning ill will. Sad because I followed him and you, David. I don't know, whatever. He says, you know, and so I screenshotted that he blocked me, and he kind of looks like a pompous fool anyway, so it doesn't really bother me. He's full of himself. I'm not saying I'm any better. I'm just saying, like, he's really full of himself. So, so we were going back and forth, and, you know, David posted, he blocked me on Twitter because apparently he thinks Will Smith was an actor first, not known as a musician. Sigh. I'm sure he's young, but yeah, he's refusing to admit he's wrong and is being a dick about it while claiming I look bad. Dude, look it up. I posted that, and then I was trying to prove a point. I said, sad someone can't handle simple research and decided to block me when I was simply stating facts. I wasn't disagreeing that the actor is now known mostly as an actor, simply that he started first and 4 years earlier as a music artist. Don't understand blocking people over it. I says, also, no. Viewing from an alternate account because he followed Altered Geek. So I just pulled it up under another window. I said, you know, because he's okay to harass people because he thinks his opinion is the only one, he put... Somebody didn't like his review that he wrote for somewhere about the How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or something or whatever that
right.
whatever that movie was. And so somebody replied to him and said, and he's in the geek culture area, says, first off, this is only half a review at best. Secondly, the film acknowledges that their actions are wrong and that both characters started out as far too full of themselves. And third, the point of comedies in a real-life setting are meant to push the boundaries of reality. And this this reviewer that blocked us said, looks like someone is upset because I gave a film they like a bad review. I suggest growing up and not living through films you like. And because it was How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. He says, the problematic nature of romantic comedies. And so I thought that this was humorous, and so I did another deep dive in his tweets. Because I wanted to just be annoying at this point, so I went in. I says, also, he posts stuff like this, but sits on the block button. He says, this was a post he did like a week ago. When did people stop being able to agree to disagree respectfully? When did any difference in opinion become a screaming match of you're wrong, so no, you're wrong, where we can't just accept other people's opinions? And one of his profiles says literally that, you know, don't worry, I sit on the block button. And I'm like, really? This guy's that much of a, you know, annoying person? And so, like, David and I were just going back and forth. He's like, I wasn't meaning ill will. He's like, eh, c'est la vie, you know? And I was kind of the same boat. I'm like, yeah, he says, thanks for screenshotting those. He says, that's great. And I says, yeah, he says, it's a bad habit.
No, it's a good habit.
Well, and then I saw that, you know, and then out of all this, I saw an interesting feature pop up on Twitter on my phone, and it's this new feature where they've pulled a Facebook. Who can reply when you post something? Choose who can reply to this tweet. Anyone mentioned can always reply. And then it's got a box where you can select everyone, people you follow, and only people you mention, meaning that you could make a private conversation nobody else sees. Mm-hmm. You could make it so that it's people you follow, or everyone in the world can see it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of neat, because then that means that I can block people that are being trolls, and I can let everybody else see. So, there's pluses and minuses with social media, and like I've met a lot of great people through it, like you. I've met This Week in Geek. I've met all of our listeners. I've met people I've met physically at conventions, and even voice actors. And honestly, like it's a great tool if you use it correctly.
So again, I've been watching. I think on season one, episode 21 or 22, I'm almost done with the first of two seasons of the Spider-Man series that's on Disney Plus. You know what? Social media is just like Uncle Ben always said, with great power comes great responsibility. There are plenty of things on Facebook specifically that I either scroll by or I will write my comment. I will still check and see anyone replying to a comment that I made, but I am not getting into a Facebook comment war. I am not getting into a Twitter comment war. Sorry about your luck that you didn't like an episode of a podcast that I did because I had an opinion about something that may have been poorly timed at the time, but I mean, come on, ruining a friendship over one opinion. And I am anyway.
Well, yeah, I was under the same microscope there, but I did appreciate the people that came out of the woodwork after that, because I was highly discouraged, and I wasn't going to quit podcasting, but I was seriously considering just stopping doing a lot of it. Because at that point it had become very toxic. I wasn't, and yes, it was poorly timed and poorly titled. But the merit of the episode still stood, is what I felt, which is why it's still out there. But
same here,
be it edited. But I got a nice comment from a listener saying, you know, I know you want to stay away from social media with all the politicization of everything. I just wanted to give my quick thanks and appreciation that you didn't totally lean one way or the other when you were podcasting by yourself or with other guests, for giving another opinion about the different political topics when they come up in geek culture. It's hard when one side has so many more louder voices when the other, and everyone is becoming more toxic because of it. And I was internally grateful for this. And then I was sent the follow-up saying, you know, I'm glad it helped with the addiction to anger lately. It seems so easy to write a comment out of madness, but no one takes to writing something nice or to be thankful for. I figured it's nice to see a bit of sunshine in a raging hurricane. And that meant the world to me as far as the podcasts were concerned. And that's part of why I was like, okay, I need to reevaluate, but I can jump back in. But that was kind of the catalyst of like, okay, I'm not ready to give it up because I do see that I am getting at least one person that appreciates my commentary. Mm-hmm. And I know there's others too that have commented on Twitter and other places. It was nice to hear it, or read it. And so I felt, like things were just, it put me in a brighter light as far as that's concerned. And so I do have more ideas for the show. I do have more ideas for some things coming up. It's a matter of time, and I know I may sound a little different than normal. I'm using my old Logitech USB headset because I'm in the process of moving, and so I have my poor microphone and all my stuff tore apart. My desk is like leaned up against the wall and different boards labeled, and I have to use this because I don't have anywhere to mount the microphone at present. I have a fold-up table next to me, and I have the pull-out drawer file cabinet piece that attaches to the top of the desk where my printer previously resided. That's where my monitors are at and my keyboard and mouse. And it's big enough for that, but it's kind of annoying, too, because I'm doing scheduling, and I have paper that I have to put everywhere, and it's annoying. So
I find it so funny that you say the desk is leaned up against the wall, because all I can think of is Cheech Marin as the Chihuahua in Oliver and Company. Man, if this is torture, chain me to the wall.
I feel like that.
Dude, you have no idea. All right. So you're moving. Karen and I moved at the end of last year. Well, because of the apartment we found, we thought, oh, west side of the building, it'll be great. We'll get some sunsets and everything else. Well, in the summertime, the sun wants to get really hot, you know, as it sets. And for me, ever since 2017, if it gets above 65 degrees, depending on whether I've eaten or not, or whatever my physical condition is, if it gets above 65 degrees, there are certain points that I will absolutely puke. When Karen and I first met, I had to have her pull over, and I puked in an Arby's parking lot. I'm not kidding. Because I was just burning up. Just, I don't know what was going on. So, we put in a request to be still in the same apartment complex, but we're just at a different building. We had to move up two floors and over to the north side. Absolutely fine with that. We went ahead and paid for a moving service to move all of our heavy stuff. I'm sorry, I'm not having somebody move my underwear drawer. That's just not going to happen. I'm going to pack that stuff up myself and move it myself. The problem is, Karen had an abscessed tooth, which caused swelling in her mouth, and then the swelling reached into just the outer part of her skull, basically the right side of her head, swell up like an egg. So currently, as of this recording, she's in the hospital getting that taken care of. I had to do all the moving. I haven't been in so much pain in a long time. I'm 6 foot, 428 pounds, and whatever other 428 point whatever it is. Yes, I know I need to lose weight. Yes, I know I need to eat better. But I blame Kevin Conroy. Because, you know, block it out and power on through. I've been powering on through for the last week and a half, and I am now at the point where I can't walk, or I feel like my ankles are both going to break. So, yeah, very stressful times, and I understand. Karen and I, you and Mary, your kids, we're not the only ones struggling, but this is just our stories. You know, and that's all we can bring up on the podcasts is what is going on in our lives. That's been my life for the past week. Moving, moving, moving. And now I have to unpack. And while Karen's in the hospital and how stressful that is to be able to or not be able to see her. Yes, there's video and pictures and whatever, but still, it's not the same as being in the same room as the person. I need so much of a break right now because, oh, man, I just feel like I'm falling apart.
Yeah, I can totally feel that. Well, I will be. both mentally and physically, I'll be a wreck in the next 3 weeks. So we start production August 25th. So, I'm excited for it. I'm just the worrier and my mental capacity is going to be shot after this because I have to take into consideration scheduling of actors and who they're opposite of. Plus, I have to take in consideration now that half of our cast is remote, which means that I physically don't have to deal with them, but the director of the program does. He has to find time to record with them, and which I don't like leaving it like in like I don't I feel bad for him because like he has to conduct these on his own for some of this. Like instead of just coming into the studio and we pipe it in through, then they're recorded on their end, but they still send it to us. But he's able to direct through a digital patch. So now he has to be digitally patched into our studio to direct. And we recorded someone the other day and there were technical issues and for about 2 hours. And then we ended up having to put him through a phone patch instead of a digital patch, which sounds like garbage, but it didn't have the feedback loop. And so we recorded, we've had a few actors that are like, I'm going to college. I'm not going to be able to record during your production run. And so we were having to record them early. Like for instance, there's one that I have to record next Thursday and I had to record one yesterday. And then I had to record one 2 weeks ago or 2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks ago on a Thursday. And so there's some that it's going to play out that way. And mind you, during this production, I am at the very last day of production. We're signing the papers and we're moving. So I also have to help. We're getting pods delivered on Tuesday. And this is recorded on a Wednesday. And so we're getting pods delivered on a Tuesday. We're going to be packing them up. We're getting two pods. We're going to dump everything in it. And there are going to be certain pieces of furniture that if they don't fit, we just sell them beforehand, but we're going to strategically place it so that they're the last to go on. We don't have to worry about a washer and dryer because we had to sell that with the house, so therefore it's not an issue there. We've lost some other furniture here or there. So, I mean, it's kind of a wash as far as that. I'm just hoping we fit everything. But the fun part is we have to sign the paperwork on Friday the 4th for our house to be done, and then we have to sign the paperwork for the new house. And then so the pods will be good because they'll pick them up in that morning and deliver them to the other house, which will be fine because then we get 10 days to unload them. But it's – I'm not – like mentally I'm going to be a wreck at the end of this because I have a 2-week production or almost 10-day production. And then on top of it, I'm going to be physically sore because I'm going to be tired from during that week of packing and then the next week of unpacking. So it's, I'm not thrilled at all. And plus I, 3 weeks after we move in, I have another production. So I have to get in and in set up with internet again, and I have to get it like pronto and get my stuff put back together so that I can actually record.
Yes, and we understand these are all first world problems, folks, but it's our podcast. It's what we're here to talk about. And actually, I wanted to actually pose a question. I was going to do this on social media, but I'll do it here, see what kind of replies we get. You can either reply to at Altered Geek or at Geekcast Radio on Twitter, or Steve or myself at SCP21 for Steve, at TF2N Mike for me. How do you handle stress? Whatever kind of stress you have in your life, how do you handle it? The stress of me moving two floors and an entire apartment and whatever else. How I handle my stress? Sadly, I will stress eat. I'll open up a bag of chips and that'll be my dinner. I know that's not good. I know that's why I'm 428 fucking pounds. I get it. But here's the thing, and I know you'll say this, and I understand your point that you have to change the food. I still move. It's not like I'm sitting here doing like I could see if I had my desk and I had my computer and I was only sitting here 12 hours a day or whatever, working on the podcast stuff and whatever else. And I did nothing else. And I never left the house, which half the time I don't want to leave my house anyway. I can understand, but I am, since we've moved out here to the West Coast or Pacific Northwest or whatever you want to call it, I've moved more and I've logged more steps in the last eight or nine months than I have in the last 3 years. And it just, like, I don't know what it is. Like, I guess it's because I was born with an Oreo in my mouth. It's just one of those things where stress eating is my stressor, or I will pick my lips, or I'll tap my foot or something. But how do people do their best to deal with stress? Not necessarily in a negative way like I'm talking about. For me, I will – if I see something on social media, it doesn't matter what platform, I'll just close the app and I'll open like Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix, whatever, and I'll just watch something and I'll just veg out. But how do people deal with stress of what's going on in their lives? How do you deal with stress, Steve?
Well, I'm not one of those people that drinks, so I spend time in quiet and solitude. Sometimes play games. I read. I've been getting back to that again. I try and find something I enjoy. Because otherwise it can be overwhelming. I'm right. Starting to come down from it. I've been in this weird rut, and social media was primarily the cause. I felt like I had to check it consistently. Although I've started writing again, like kind of trying to flex that muscle, and that's kind of helped me too, because I'm able to kind of basically create something, brain dump it, and then wait on the next person to write their portion. Because it's a RPG type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined it and I wasn't sure like what it entailed. I'd read a little bit of it and I kind of skimmed it, and then I went through like an application process on it, because like they had to vet people because they had some guy that broke their system. Like, you're only allowed 4 characters maximum, maybe 5 if you use story tokens, which you do story objectives and they give you tokens for it. So it's a Star Trek RPG, of course, but I was going to create a character, and they're like, well, because of this other guy that was in there, he had 8 accounts and was somehow had enough time to manage a character or up to 4 on multiple accounts, and they somehow figured out they were all him. And so they had like 20 characters they had to figure out what to do with when he got banned from the site. And so I had to inherit one, as do any new writer to the site now. And some of them they kill off, some of them they put in stasis in case somebody wants them later, and then the rest they make them inherit. So I had to inherit one. So, but I mean, you have to go through a 3-month probation before you can create a new one. But so anyways, I've been doing that, and it's been a lot of fun. I joined their Discord so I can kind of converse with them throughout the day or whatever. Pretty funny a lot. Some of them have similar job situations, so it's funny when they're talking about video editing and content to that nature. But yeah, so I mean, I try and find something that energizes my mind, I guess. I do read some from the Bible too, but I was reading Star Trek books. First time I've read a Star Trek book in 10 years, maybe more. I found some where like they had Data back from the dead, or Dr. Soong, and created a new body for Data, and so. Yeah, so I was reading that. I started reading that trilogy of books, and then unfortunately they didn't have the second book. They had the third book, so I was kind of stuck after my first book. And so I took them all back to the library because I'm not going to have any time until after I move
right
to read again. But But yeah, I mean, I was having fun reading that and doing that at night instead of using the computer and reading on that, because honestly, I prefer a book.
Yeah, I find myself, as long, it depends on what the book is, but mm-hmm. I find myself more into audiobooks these days. Dan Gilvezan read his own audiobook from 2011, I believe. I believe it was from 2011 is what I'm saying. He, you know, did the vocals for his book. Joe Kenda, who's the guy that does Homicide Hunter on Investigation Discovery, he reads his own book. As bad as this is, Tori Spelling from 90210, she's done several books. And I don't know, I just, like, I used to love reading actual physical books, but I find myself not really reading books anymore. I'm more into whatever crazy, cool, interesting comics I can read at this point. But, you know, to each their own, and whatever helps you de-stress, that's what you should do.
Totally. So, I think that about wraps this episode up.
I have a comedy for you.
You do?
Yes. Going back to social media and sponsored posts. The next great podcast.
That was supposed to be a joke?
No. The next great podcast.
Isn't it an ad?
Yes. So, iHeartRadio is on the hunt for the next great podcast, and we want to pump your show into earbuds all across the globe. Submit your pitch for a chance to develop and launch a show on the iHeart Podcast Network, funded by iHeartRadio. Up to 10 semifinalists will be awarded a $1,000 towards the production of a 10-minute pilot episode of their podcast. One grand prize winner will receive a special interview with Dan Patrick and will work closely with iHeartRadio to develop their idea into a podcast series to be distributed by the iHeart Podcast Network. We want to hear from you. Submit your pitch today. First comment? Right, let's give them free ideas and not get paid for it when they steal intellectual property.
Yeah. That's about where I see it, too. I don't like that radio. I honestly have a grudge against them, even when I worked for the Blaze, just because they were such a pain to deal with. And it's funny because the guy that used to run the podcast department at the Blaze actually ran the podcast department at iHeartRadio to begin with until he went and formed his own company. Probably because all the fallout. But they were the same company that were like, we created the first ever podcast awards. And then the Todd Cochran, the guy that created Blueberry, he's like, over here, 14 years and running. Thanks. You know, I don't know. I found it like annoying. They're always like, we're the first to do this. We're the first to do that. And they're always trying to, like, put themselves on this, like, pedestal, and it always annoys me. And I think it's because they don't really innovate. They kind of just steal. And that's, I think that's why I would never do something like that with iHeart. And the thing is it's going to be rigged anyway. They're going to probably give some old radio jockey the shot at doing the podcast. And they're going to be like, oh, you're great. You already have a following. You're awesome, radio guy. And then I don't know. It's just something about it bothers me, and so I have literally no faith in iHeartRadio as far as that's concerned. And honestly, I've never listened to them anyway. I hate their interface. Like, I would much, like, if it was a Spotify thing and they're like, hey, would, you know, the next great podcast, because, you know, they're just trying to steal anything away from anybody. They'll be like, they're like, hey, come over here, you know, we'll take care of you over here, you know, Spotify for the win. Mm-hmm. And I honestly like their interface much more than a lot of these other ones. So I mean, ultimately, you know, I think I've seen that ad and it just irks me. But I do have to say that there is a bonus that the podcast awards, the place that I work, and the children's podcast that I produce, it is in their top 10 rankings for the voting. it's in their top 10 list of notable programs. So I am excited that we've made it to the finals, because I feel that it's probably one, like, the fact that it's a Christian show aside, I feel that it's a very well-produced program. It has original compositions for music in every episode. We send it to a composer. The director of the program also edits the program and does all the sound effects, does all the Foley stuff with it, does all the work with the actors, good or bad. And I'm saying, like, because the actors are all, they're all volunteers, so it's not like it's you know, we have a legend in our midst. It's, you know, we have people that are just parents of kids that are in the program, or, you know. So I mean, it's really cool to be a part of that. That aside, I really like the podcast awards, regardless of it. And then I know Hank Davis, he's got the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan podcast in there again in the running for the top 10, and he's actually won it a couple years ago. But
very cool,
yeah,
very cool.
The other thing, I since you're bringing up streaming stuff. I signed up for, before we end this anyways, I signed up for YouTube Music the other day, because I helped my wife clean our church, which they just put an addition in, and it takes an additional like 10 hours a week. That aside, because there's a lot of floor, I do all the vacuuming pretty much, because it takes literally like a long time. But anyways, I was like, okay, I'm on the Wi-Fi, I have nothing on my phone. Like, there were podcasts, I really didn't, like, a lot of the ones I was subscribing to, they were like 5 to 10 minute podcasts, and I'm like, I need something that's going to go the distance. So I launched YouTube Music from my phone, and I was kind of like, do I listen to it, do I not? And I know it costs, like, I'm under the free trial right now, and it's like, I want to say it's like $12 a month or something. Might be more. It's almost ridiculously priced. And if it were cheaper, like if they were like, it's $4.99 a month, I would be like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, I'll deal with that for a month, you know, for a monthly charge. Like I could easily throw that away. But 15, like, for just music, like, I mean, I can get a streaming video service for that and get a lot more content out of it. Granted, they have a big music library, and you can play anything on there. There's no ads. So I was enjoying that, because you can do subscriptions, you can do artists, songs, albums, playlists, or downloads. You can download the songs. You can also shut your screen off, and you don't have the ads. Which I was looking for the option to not have my screen on, because it just kills your battery.
Yep.
And they actually, when you download YouTube Music, they have the option to switch between song or video. And when you switch it to song, it uses less bandwidth, and it's literally just the song, and they have the cover art
of
that track, or whatever that video is on YouTube. If you do video, it will physically play the video with the song. And then you get a thumbs up, thumbs down, where you can kind of rank it, almost like a Spotify thing, where you're like, yeah, more of this, less of this. And so I did that, and I used one of my YouTube Music playlists that I used to listen to a lot back when I worked at the dealership, when I'd be sitting at my computer doing all of my documentation and analysis of things. And so I played that, and I was like, okay, you know, I can cycle through my 283 songs and and just let it go on random. And I did that, and I was like, okay, this is actually pretty neat. I could get used to this, except I don't like the price. So I have the free trial canceling at the end of the month. But honestly, like, I was quite surprised at how nice that was to have. Kind of brought back the memories of having, you know, your MP3 CDs, or, yes, I said CDs with MP3s, people, or even just classic CDs, or cassettes that you recorded from the radio because you couldn't get it any other way. So, I mean, I used to have the Walkmans, I used to have the CD Walkmans, the CD player with the MP3 Walkman. So, I mean, it kind of brought back that vibe of doing, you know, mindless work that you really are not excited to be doing and having the music in the background. And so it was an awesome feature. So I thought I would bring that up, the fact that while I like the service and I applaud it and I enjoyed it, the price is a little too steep for my tastes.
All right. So ads be whatever they are, because we use ads in our shows too, so whatever.
I can take limited ads. I just don't like
excessive. No, absolutely. I will say, and we've already agreed, that Spotify, at least for audio, obviously, is the best platform for podcasts, at least to listen to them. I can give you several suggestions before we get out of here. They have various ones, but they also have their main feed, the Transmissions Transformers podcast. Really fun. I love their comic discussions. They interviewed F.J. DeSanto, who is the showrunner on the new Transformers War for Cybertron Siege. He's actually the showrunner on all three series, Siege, Earthrise, and Kingdom. They interviewed the composer. They review the comics. They talk news, just like we would on All Things Transformers. But I really like some of the things they have to say about the comics. Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, he's got interviews galore. He's got an interview with Grant Gustin that I heard that was really cool. He's got an interview with Jamie Lynn Ziegler, who was from The Sopranos, as far as I remember her. He's got an interview with Brandon Routh that's really cool. So Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Superhero Cinephiles is my buddy Derek Ferguson and Perry Constantine reviewing superhero films. Kids Love Batman is Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. They're going through BTAS just like we did, but it's much funnier than we were. Seriously, they've got 18 episodes released so far. Average length of episode is, I've listened to all of them, so I don't have the, I don't know, like 20, 30 minutes. Average length of everything I'm suggesting to you is between 20 minutes and an hour. So you could listen to almost anything. My two biggest ones from 2019 that I will always promote almost first is Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads with our buddy Mike Laidman and his buddy Chris Blonsky. I marathoned this show from the first episode up until I think the 46th or 47th episode. I listened to 47 podcasts within 8 days. So good. Music Talks with Terry Smith. He's got 28 episodes, and it's basically and I've talked about this show on this podcast before. You can pick whatever one you want, but if you start at the beginning, you get everybody's story. So it's, basically he has his guests pick one song from every decade that they've been alive. I was on episode 12. I picked Hall & Oates, Creed, Nickelback, and something else. I forget, but basically, you know, the stories of your life through influence of whatever song you pick kind of thing. Absolutely love that. I devour that. Between Kids Love Batman, Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads, and Music Talks, I devour those every time they come out. So those would be awesome for you to check out. And Music Talks episodes are usually about an hour or so. Sometimes they're a little longer. Sometimes they're a little shorter. So that should at least get you through your moving phase if you want to use podcasts while moving.
Awesome, awesome. So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.